Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome into a Tuesday edition brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com. The White Sox, the cure to a lot of ills.
2-1. Pasquantino drills it deep to straightaway right. Grossman turns around. That's long gone. Vinny Pasquantino homers for the second straight game. His third home run of the season overall, and the Royals are on the board first tonight. It's 1-0 in the top of the fourth.
Jake Eisenberg last night on 610 Sports Radio. I guess it's not a cure to ills, just a cure to one game.
Yeah.
The loss of the Mets, but they bounce back and beat the White Sox.
That's not a bounce back, Josh, as Vinny told Joel Goldberg after the game last night. This is not a bounce back, Josh.
That's right. It's
not a bounce back.
I apologize. It's not. Definitely not.
Last thing, you guys have had this bounce back ability. Yesterday, losing that game, come right back. We've seen it over and over again. Well, what is it about this team that has that ability to flush it so quickly?
We're a good team. That's what it is. It's not a bounce back. We're just a good team. We're not going to fall into these, you know, these mental traps of, oh, we went on a streak of seven in a row or we lost this many in a row. We're a good team. We expect to come out every night and compete, and that's about it.
Okay, sorry.
There
sorry.
You go. It's not a bounce back, Josh. It is not a bounce back. Yeah. It is a good team that is now sitting there with 11 wins, and only the Yankees have more wins than the Royals so far this season, and they have 12, so they only have one more win, you know, than the Royals. They're playing for the best record in baseball, and I don't know about you, I heard that last night, and I'm like, boy, does Vinny not like Joel? Does anybody know? It seems a little contentious at times when Vinny and Joel do their post-game interviews. I don't know if there's a backstory there or a dynamic, but what he's saying is absolutely right. I mean, I think it's come to the time now where when you have the second-best record, second-most wins in baseball, it is early. I know everybody wants to say it's early all the time, but you got the second most wins in the game right now. They are a good baseball team. They find ways to win, and they kept a White Sox team losing last night. Seth Lugo was brilliant. He didn't give up any runs last night. I think Brady Singer's throwing today. He has like a 0.98 ERA. The starting pitching 12 games now. They've been absolutely wonderful out there on the mound to give this team. So my question to all the folks to quickly jump in yet, hey, what's it going to take? It's hard to dismiss the Royals right now. As a good baseball team, we've got a very good baseball team here in Kansas City.
I just didn't mean to offend Vinny.
Yeah.
So, sorry. And they're closing games. So.
Ride with the general.
Yeah, ride with the general.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, yesterday was perfect.
Yeah.
Well pitched.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny's home run is just crushed.
Crushed, yeah.
Then they get a little insurance run.
Mm-hmm.
Starting pitching's been fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, Lugo just went out there and dealt.
Yeah, he did. He was insane yesterday. He was absolutely insane yesterday.
And then Vinny even said, "That's the expectation level now, guys." Right. He's like, looked at the camera. I was like, "Geez, he's on a like."
Yeah, we expect you to go out there and do this now.
Yeah,
there you go.
I think that one was a little more tongue in cheek than the other one was, which felt
we're a good team. That's what it is. It's not a bounce back. We're just a good team.
So shut it, Joel.
Jeez. Come on, Joel. Stop talking about a bounce back. But I mean, that's been the mindset though, Josh, for so many years here in Kansas City. And I know it's hard for a lot of folks, even Joel, maybe to get past that. Hey, maybe this team has turned the corner and maybe this is now a good team. And we need to start embracing this as a good baseball team, because if the team's believing in themselves, that's, you know, 90% of the battle right there. They believe now when they go out there, they're going to win these games. And that's what they're doing. I mean, 11-6 or whatever it is on the season is a great way to start the year. And that's one of those things where I look at and go, okay, you've got yourself off to a hot start. You're winning some games. You're pitching brilliantly. And you're going out there and you're closing out games and you have the second most wins in all of baseball. I think it is time for a lot of folks to start buying in that this is a good team. And the reason this is different, in my opinion anyway, from where we were in the past with this team, they're not finding ways to win like, oh my God, they're scratching out a run in the ninth and winning 9-8 or anything like that, right? They're doing it with starting pitching. And when you have starting pitching in this game, anything is possible. And now these guys are challenging each other, as you heard Vinny talk about there with the starting pitching, you know, going out and this becomes now the expectation. But that's where it is. That's where this game is won and lost, with starting pitching. And when you have, what is it, 12 quality starts now, the most in baseball, no rotation is better right now in Major League Baseball from top to bottom than the Royals. When you have a starting staff like that, anything is possible and any game is winnable for this team right now. And I'm glad they're believing that they're a winning ball club, because I think they probably went into the season a little bit of trepidation as well. I mean, a lot of these guys are coming off that 106 loss season, so they needed to see the wins. They needed to feel the wins, and they got those wins right away. They jump-started this season right away, and now they're hot, and now they're off and running, and now they believe in themselves. And I think that's so vitally important as you get ready to approach, you know, the rest of the season. Establish that early success, build that belief in your success, find ways to win early, and then you can kind of ride this thing out and see what happens. So I'm buying in, man. I am all ready to buy in, but I know there are still some, I'm sure, that are like, hang on a second here, I'm not ready to buy in. I think you just come to the party and have fun, man. You can't worry about it being early.
Well, I mean, and they could have had all the confidence in the world, but they needed to see this too. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're looking at themselves,
I'm saying,
in the
sure.
mirror, you know what I mean? Like, you can believe I'm going to do it, but then can we do it?
Right.
And now you're doing it. And you're like, hell yeah, we believe you can do this. Just ride the wave now. Just
right.
go. Because yeah, they're absolutely off and running. Not knocking Vern. Love Vern.
Mm-hmm.
But Salvi must have been listening yesterday and said, not so fast, my friend.
I'll be out 4 minutes.
When Vern
four
said 4 to 8 weeks. Sources.
Yeah.
Or Salvi.
Right.
Says he's going to be back today, in fact.
Good.
One of our followers, Jeremy, tweeted out, I'm coming all the way from Puerto Rico to see the Royals in Chicago, and now Salvador Perez is injured? Why? What did I do to deserve this? Is this my fault? Tell me everything's going to be okay, Goldberg KC. Salva responds to this tweet, says, I'm back tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
Yesterday afternoon, 3:17.
Yes. So taking sources, all the suspense out of it.
Sources say... Salvi will be back today.
Does Salvi have good sources on Salvi? That's the question.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are we sure that he's got a good source on this one? Are we sure it's a real source? Because it seems like anytime you or I say anything, people are like, I don't believe you. You don't have a good source. I'm not believing Salvi's source until I see Salvi out there behind the dish.
Well, who's told you, Salvi?
Yeah, exactly. Did the doctor tell you that? You got a note from somebody out there that's going to tell you you can play?
Trainer's got to clear him.
If you come back in Kansas, I'm not going to watch you either.
Seems like Salvi's just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to Salvi, Salvi's back today.
That's good news.
Okay, cool.
That's good news.
That didn't take long.
You survived that first real big scare of the season. And let's be honest, 24 hours ago, we were sitting here probably fearing the worst when it comes to Salvador Perez, because we've seen these injuries before, and because I think there's still a group of us who believe we just can't have nice things when it comes to the baseball side. And here we get off to this great start, and then Salvi's going to be out for the next 2 months. But the good news is he will be back today. You're going to have injuries. It's just all about how you kind of stem the tide, deal with those injuries, make up for those injuries. And you know, Salvi's one of those guys though that you don't want to have to deal with having an injury too. There's other guys on the team you can be like, some guy in the bullpen gets hurt, or an outfielder, so he's fine. You can figure out ways to get by, but Salvi would have been tough to overcome for a long period of time. He's the catalyst, Josh, of this team. He's the captain of this team, you know, for a reason. And to have your captain out for a long period of time is not good, especially that he's one of the better players on your team right now. So that was a whew moment yesterday, I think, for everybody when Salvi tweeted out that he will be back today. So I think everybody's going to be looking at that lineup when it comes out in a couple of hours, seeing where Salvi fit in. How's he going to be part of this thing? Is he going to DH? Is he going to play first? Is he going to be behind the plate? But I think we're really, really, really lucky and fortunate that this is not some long-term injury like Vern was talking about yesterday.
We're a good team. That's what it is. It's not a bounce back. We're just a good team.
It's not a bounce back. Salvi's just a good healer.
He's
going to play tomorrow.
He's going to be there.
Just shut up. He's going to play.
Shut up, Joel. Stop asking us questions. My God, Joel.
And you said people are on board. And I listening to Vern's post-game show last night, I think people are on board.
They are.
Hey, Josh. Great show. Kudos to the entire Royals organization, J.J. Piccolo.
So everybody's on board.
Yeah, they are.
They're all here.
They're ready to roll.
They're all here. Piccolo and the Pied Pipers
that's right.
are ready to rock.
They'll figure it out eventually. We'll get there. It took a while for people to know Brett Veach, too.
We'll get there.
Then you win a championship and everybody knows who you are. You get a song named after
that's
you, right?
True. So, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Shout out to Piccolo today.
Yeah. Way to go, Piccolo. Hey, Vern. I just got to give a shout out to everybody in the front office, including that Piccolo guy.
We're all on board. That's all. We're all on board.
We're a good team. That's what it is. It's not a bounce back. We're just a good team.
Mm. Yes, Vinny. Jeez.
We get it. We get it. We get it.
Vinny's pissed too because I made you cut him on the first day.
Yeah, right. You did. That's right. Now he's got, what, 3 home runs? Yeah. He's starting to drive the bus a little
probably
bit.
All
yeah.
mad. Probably all mad.
Hey, Josh. Great show. Kudos to the entire Royals organization, J.J. Piccolo. Mm.
All right, so interesting development in the on the stadium front. It seems like there's some backing from an unusual location.
Yeah, it is. It's weird. I don't know what to expect at 8:30
like
today.
St. Louis.
Right.
And you may say,
Mm-hmm.
So the Cardinals owner
mm-hmm.
is Bill DeWitt.
That's right.
He'll be joining us on the show today at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Because the Cardinals don't want the Chiefs to move out of Missouri.
Right.
Maybe. They go, what?
Yeah.
It seems that they would appreciate the Chiefs having the push to get gambling in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Which does make sense.
Right.
When you look around the landscape of the NFL, I think NFL teams have embraced gambling money
mm-hmm.
and partnerships with gambling companies.
Yeah.
To the extent that they can,
mm-hmm.
depending on if it's in their state. And the NFL is, I think, going to relax rules about involvement as this thing continues to evolve. And eventually they're all going to want sports books in their stadiums.
Yeah, there are some venues in professional sports that have them. In Arizona, the baseball stadium and the basketball arena both have a sports book inside their venue. You had mentioned that the football stadium has one like outside the venue,
well,
right?
Because the NFL doesn't allow it in venue yet.
Right.
Yet. But they have basically an outhouse.
Yeah. Just they got a guy outside. With a card table in the parking lot.
Well, it is nicer than that, but it's like actual state, but they just built a building.
They're right.
Like, here's our building on the outside then. Come, wager here. There's a mm-hmm. sports bar and a sports book right there.
Right.
So the teams want to be affiliated with this kind of stuff, to have the ability to do this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Can't do it in Missouri. Could possibly do it in Kansas. You don't think Kansas would be floating that out there of, oh, yeah, you'll be able to do this kind of stuff in your venue or at least close to your venue should the NFL, and I think the NFL will continue to move closer and closer to just allowing them
just
to do it.
Just allowing it to do it, yeah.
So it's happening in the short order, but if Missouri doesn't have gambling, well, then.
Then the Chiefs have no reason to stay.
That's one more thing that doesn't go in their favor.
Right, and it's going to be a decision that has to be made fairly soon because the legislative session in Missouri ends sometime around the middle of May, Memorial Day weekend. I think by then they're out of the legislative session. They don't reconvene again until January, as we've known from following this gambling thing over the years. It's like a half-year session, and then everybody goes about their business and comes back at the end of the or at the beginning of the year. And so they've got some work to do over the next couple of weeks to get this thing done. But I got a phone call from a source yesterday that says Bill DeWitt wants to come on your show. And I'm like, excuse me, the owner of the Cardinals? What did I do now, right? And I'm like, I said, is this one last ditch effort to try to save the Chiefs in the state of Missouri? And the answer I was given was yes. And so I'm interested to see what they have to say about trying to keep the Chiefs in the state of Missouri. I said, what about the Royals? They go, we have no idea about the Royals yet. So that and that is kind of where the Royals are right now. They've said nothing about what they're going to do, but just being in Arizona.
But they have, I don't know, pledge is the right word, but the belief is they still want to be in downtown Kansas City. Yeah, so they're in Missouri, right?
Right. It would be. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. But so, I mean, if you go to the Chase ballpark out in Phoenix, Arizona, and you walk in, you see a Caesar Sports Lounge there, and you can't have that in Missouri. Yeah, how do you not want to try to get something like that in Kansas? And I was told by a source yesterday in the state of Kansas, like they've got these four casinos that have the gambling, Hollywood being one of them, but they can also all have offshoot areas, like up to 50 offshoot areas that each one of these can have. And so don't you think they'll probably promise one of these to the Chiefs to have an offshoot casino in your stadium, you know, once the NFL gets that going? And it's not necessarily about the gambling money being able to build the stadium. It's the money that you can generate on game day by having that sports book in your stadium and not just betting on the Chiefs game that day, but going in and betting all the NFL games, or if there's baseball playoff games or hockey or whatever's going on in, you know, September, October, November, and December that you want to place a bet on.
It's a lucrative business to be affiliated with.
Yeah, it
is. In your venue
to have that opportunity. People have a couple of pops, they go lay some bets down, you know, that type of thing. So it is definitely something that they want. And I can imagine the Cardinals want it as well. I can imagine the Blues want it as well. And I would imagine that the Royals would want it. I would imagine the Current want it.
They've all worked with trying to get it passed.
They've worked their tail off. And apparently the guy that's holding it up is a gentleman from Lee Summit who refuses to introduce the bill on the floor. And so we'll find out why. Like, if you're a guy in Lee Summit, get your ass in gear and let's go. Let's have this thing passed so the state of Missouri can have legalized gambling as well, so they can put their best foot forward. Because I still believe either one of the Royals or the Chiefs, you know, this gambling thing does change things a little bit, not much, but one of the teams is going to move across the state line. If I'm a betting man, which I am, I'll say it's the Chiefs that are moving across the state line. But I still want Missouri to get legalized gambling. So if the Royals do decide to stay on the Missouri side of the state line and they do decide that East Village is their location, why not allow them to have a casino in their stadium as well? Why not allow the Current to have a casino in their stadium, a sportsbook window in their stadium where you can go make bets? And the same thing goes with the Cardinals and Blues on the other side of the state. I just think sports gambling is good for everybody. It's good for the economy. It's good for the teams. It's good for the area. And I think it keeps business moving and it keeps the teams happy, because this is the next wave, Josh, of ways that you can generate money being a sports team, having your own sports book. This is new money that they all want to capitalize on. And the more, the merrier, I think.
So Cardinals owner Bill DeWitt will join us coming up at 8:30 with more. Certainly an interesting ally in this.
Yeah, really is. Right. Yes.
So you're going with sunspots, huh? We'll discuss next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So they're going to try it again. They're going to give you a makeup. They're going to they're going to try to capitalize on a second night of ratings.
That's exactly what they're going to do.
Whatever. So CBS, who screwed up the end of a Billy Joel concert on Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
and cut out in half the country, more than half the country.
Right.
right during Piano Man.
Somebody tweeted yesterday, would have been good. News. It would have been good if he was playing a cover of Don't Stop Believin', yeah. And they cut out halfway through that.
That would have been great. So CBS heard it yesterday.
I'm sure they did.
And now they have a statement.
Right.
A network programming timing error ended last night's Billy Joel special approximately 2 minutes early in the Eastern and Central time zones. We apologize to Mr. Joel, his fans, our affiliated stations, and our audience whose viewing experience was interrupted during the last song. Due to the overwhelming demand from his legion of fans, Billy Joel, the 100th, live at Madison Square Garden, will be rebroadcast in its entirety on CBS on April 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern. 8 p.m. Central, for those of you viewing here. Now, they should say, and we will make sure it ends at the appropriate time as well.
Correct.
Because that seemed to be the issue the other night.
It wasn't the start time.
All the affiliate stations were getting yelled at. Now they're like, it wasn't us, man. It wasn't us.
Right.
It was a a network programming timing error.
Yeah, here's what really happened. Here's the facts. They didn't want to pay somebody to sit there and run the board, run master control, so they put it on a timer. The show ran a little bit late, but the timer was already set. The switch over to the late local news, and there you have it. It's not anything to do with an error. It's called cheapness by CBS, who didn't want to pay somebody like $20 an hour or whatever it is to sit there and run the operation. And that's how we got into that mess. That's what happened with Channel 5 many years ago when they were talking about the sunspot issue. I've talked to people years later who have said that wasn't a sunspot issue. They didn't have anybody staffed that day. And it went haywire. The automation, if you will, went haywire and didn't work properly and, you know, screwed up that Kansas-Missouri game over at Channel 5. It had nothing to do with sunspots. And that's exactly what went on at CBS. They're trying to cover up the fact that they didn't want to pay somebody to work on Sunday night. And so when you don't pay somebody, well, things like this tend to happen. Or you relied on AI.
Or the other option was they did pay someone. He was done, though, at 10.
At 10 o'clock, he did check out. Yeah,
see ya.
Could have been that, too. Yeah.
I don't care if Jana, man. I'm done at 10.
Switch lines. Right? No, you can't do that. You're in the middle of a live broadcast, yeah. Man. You're there to the end or, you know, whatever the situation is. You're there. You flip it over to the late local news when it goes off.
I didn't agree to play overtime.
Yeah, no, but that's
game's ending in regulation.
Could you imagine like players walking off the field, NFL game 17-17 after regulation, they just leave. They're done, or hockey or basketball, extra innings in baseball. We're not doing that. We're paid to play nine. Now you could see people doing that, like a Blake Snell, Whit Merrifield type of guys, you know, who are complaining during COVID, we're risking our lives. Those guys would go, I'm paid to play nine. I'm not paid to play 10. I expect a bump in time and a half for every inning over nine. Like, you could see baseball players definitely doing that.
Great walkout, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be fantastic.
They just stand together like, we're not finishing this game.
We're paid to play nine innings in a game. We're not paid to play 10.
You want to negotiate right here and now, we'll sit down on the field and talk.
That's right.
We ain't playing.
I mean, that would be unbelievable. But you could see baseball players trying to pull that off. I'm surprised Boris hasn't thought of that yet, trying to get that into the union where he's like, hey, wait a second. They're actually right about that. You guys are playing overtime,
after
and
nine,
according to American law, you should be getting time and a half.
After nine, just everyone sit down at their base.
Yeah.
Let's watch this.
Let's see what happens. We're doing a sit-in until we get extra time.
So CBS has got it because they got the number the other night, and they'll get another number on Friday.
Of course,
so
it's great.
They've worked it out for themselves.
And they found something to fill Friday night programming,
It's all going to be fine for them. So sunspots.
Yeah, so when TV stations say, oh, yeah, we had a master control issue. No, you didn't. You didn't pay anybody to sit there and push a button. Start paying your help.
All right, another a story from around the NFL, taking a pay cut. Players are asked this all the time.
Oh, God, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Hey, could you work us here a little bit? Could you help us out? Mm-hmm. Or in this case, hey, you were injured. How about a little, you know?
How about get a little scratch back to us?
So Nick Chubb has worked out things with the Cleveland Browns to return to the Browns, but at a reduced rate.
That's right.
Just remember, though, those things can come back and get you, right? There's what is it, actions and consequences?
Yeah,
consequences
every
in this
action
case.
Has a consequence, yeah.
So Ross Tucker, our Odyssey bandmate, covers the NFL and discusses the situation. And remember, there are other times when you might not like something a player does. Remember Nick Chubb.
I don't blame the Cleveland Browns for asking Nick Chubb to take a pay cut after that knee injury. I don't blame Nick Chubb for accepting it I just want everybody, including you, to remember this the next time a player holds out. This is just business, right, for the Browns. They're protecting their salary cap. They're protecting the money they were going to pay Chubb this year. I get it. Just remember that when players are protecting their interests and their families and their financial security. Thank you.
There it is. I mean, I think that's the greatest sports lesson that we can all public understand and learn, right? It is fantastic because he's dead on, and we are now entering, Josh, into prime holdout time around the NFL, right? Phase one of Del Boca Vista started yesterday. Chiefs are doing a lot of their stuff virtual, you know, in that first phase, but a lot of teams are showing up. Guys are pulling on the door, trying to get in. Teams are welcoming their new players and all this kind of stuff that they picked up during free agency. But this is also the time of the year where guys with contract disputes start to look at the organization and go, you know what? I'm going to hold out. I'm not going to show up till I get a new contract. And the reason they do that is because exactly what happened with Nick Chubb. Had a contract, got injured. They took his money away. They renegotiated his contract. Ipso facto, here we sit. I get the business side of the NFL. And I think for fans, a lot of the time, we have a hard time understanding that sports is a business first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. Oh, and then there's a game that's going to be played. And teams in the NFL are always looking for ways to save money. And they screw these players all the time. But yet when a player holds out like Chris Jones did last year, we seemingly get mad at the player and we don't get mad at the organization. And I think the anger really needs to be directed when these holdouts happen, in my opinion, towards the organization, because they're the ones at any given moment that can pull that contract away from a player and not pay them anything because they're non-guaranteed contracts in the NFL. And so I'll never fault a guy for holding out to try to get the most upfront money possible, because that's the logical thing to do. That's the only guaranteed money you are going to have. What I did fault Chris Jones was last year, though, was leading the Chiefs down the path, believing like they could get something done. And then here we sit on September 7th
yeah,
or whatever
the
it was.
Disconnect and, was. Yeah.
Because nobody thought there was a disconnect there last year. And I think ultimately that disconnect caused them from being able to sign L'Jarius Sneed. They had to trade him to Tennessee. Here we sit, maybe looking for a new corner. So I think there was a big domino effect in that. But if you knew that going in, that was going to be an issue, the Chiefs probably would have diverted some of their energy and money towards L'Jarius Sneed. But they thought at any day this was going to be a done deal with Chris Jones. They thought it would be a brief two-day holdout. He wasn't going to show up to the opening day of St. Joe. But by the time the thing got going, he was going to be there. That never happened. That was a completely different type of holdout, I think, than what we see around the NFL. But I can't fault guys for holding out, because this is the only time in a limited career where they get the opportunity to make that money. And if they want to make a statement and they want to hold out to get their dough, I don't blame them, because a team's going to turn around 2 minutes later and cut you anyway. So go get your cash, guys.
You have a holdout candidate.
Yeah, I do actually have a holdout candidate. And I think he should. It's Isaiah Pacheco, because I hate to say it, going into year three of a 4-year deal, that guy ain't getting paid.
No. Every running back that's in his spot should.
Yeah, every running back. If you are on a rookie contract and you've had two good years and you're going into your third year, this is the year you do hold out if you're Isaiah Pacheco. And you go, hey, I'm sorry, man, I only got 1 year left, and the odds of me getting re-signed here in Kansas City probably aren't that high. So I want to make some cash, so I would hold out. But I think if you're looking at the roster right now and you're thinking to yourself, who's a logical holdout candidate? I think Isaiah Pacheco is that guy, because you've been saying since day one, since we saw him at training camp a few years ago, you go, that guy's going to be good, but boy, he's never going to get paid.
No,
the Chiefs just don't pay running backs,
well,
right?
The league doesn't.
And the league doesn't.
The league, for the most part, doesn't pay running backs. And I'm firmly in the, you know, churn 'em and burn 'em category there.
Yeah.
That you got to move on. Don't sign a running back, certainly, to a second contract. But
I think Saquon Barkley was the only running back that signed, or maybe it was Josh Jacobs. It was one of the two that signed this offseason for actually more money per year than they were making last year.
Yeah,
so they got these contracts, but they're not getting more money contracts. And it is a bad situation. And I think right now, Isaiah Pacheco is more valuable to the Chiefs than the Chiefs are to Isaiah Pacheco. And he can look at that and go, who you got right now at that running back position? So if I'm giving him advice, I would say, yeah, hold out. But I'm sure there's Chiefs going to go, no way, he needs to be there for the team. But yet the team can cut him or not re-sign him at the end of next season, and then he gets no money.
On his merry way.
Yeah.
There's a fever with or without cowbell. We'll get to it next. We'll be right back.
ball, two strikes. MacArthur delivers. Breaking ball, low and outside. Jimenez checked his swing. He went around. Strike three. First base umpire Jordan Baker says he swung, and the game is over. The Royals blank the White Sox 2-0 and take game one of this three-game series at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Last night here on 610 Sports Radio, the Royals pick up win number 11.
J.J. Piccolo.
No doubt.
Theirs does go to 11.
It does. Thank goodness. It didn't go to 11 until May 10th of last year, Josh.
Think about that.
It's almost a month later. Actually, I saw that stat this morning that the Royals picked up their 11th win last night, didn't get their 11th until May 10th a year ago, and I thought to myself, it came that early?
I was thinking May 10th, I might have been out already.
Might have been out. What do you mean? I mean, you're definitely out by May 10th of last year. And now everybody's all in because they're sitting in, you know, basically first place and have the second most wins in all of Major League Baseball. And when it comes to baseball, I've said numerous times how much I love the sport, and having a winning baseball team in your town is probably the best thing you could have in sports. And I'm in that sicker than other category, I think, with this, because I have a friend of mine that works in minor league baseball. His family runs a couple of teams in minor league baseball. And so he's around the game and he wants to be a GM eventually. So he's working behind the scenes and scouting and all that kind of stuff. And I called him yesterday and I said, how's the Royal system looking if we need to make a trade for an ace here up in the next couple of months?
You're scouring the system.
I am already scouring the minor leagues and talking about who the Royals have that they could trade to get reinforcements at the big league level for the stretch run, because you do have to strike while the iron is hot. And as we know in this town, we have not had sustained success in baseball other than the 70s, and nobody remembers any of that. And so now we've got an opportunity to start that, you know, that train of sustained success, which is what John Sherman talked about when he, you know, made the move to let Dayton Moore go and bring in J.J. Piccolo, as this guy said,
J.J. Piccolo,
as the general manager, that he wanted to see what a wild card team would be like. It'd be okay just to have that kind of that sustained success that I think the Brewers have got. I think you're starting to see it in Cincinnati. They've got the same amount of wins as the Royals do now. Obviously, Baltimore is getting ready to have their sustained success for an entire generation. So you got to strike when that iron is hot. You got to get that sustained success. And so I said to my friend, I go, what do you think of the Royal system right now? He goes, dude, we just started the minor league series. I got to evaluate what we got here first. I'll get back to you in a little bit.
They're just getting underway in the minors.
They are. Like, but Monday is an off day in the minors. So I called them on the off day, Josh. It was like bothered them during, like, when there was something going on, right? I said, so how does this Royal system shape up? He goes, come on now. We don't know that. We don't know where we are right now. We've got to find a way to get through the first month of the season. I got to figure out what my team's about. I'll get back to you on that one. But he did say that the Royals, if they're going to be really serious about contending, they do need to go out there and get that legit number one. And he is right about that. Cole Reagans is a great pitcher, no doubt. Brady Singer's done great things. But when you are on a run like the Royals are right now and you get later into the season, what do teams normally do? They make those big time moves. Hell, we saw it here in Kansas City 9 years ago with Johnny Cueto, right?
And Zobrist.
Zobrist. They went out and got a legit ace for the top of the rotation. And if this, you know, stretch continues and they continue to win at this pace, I'm going to be very interested to see what John Sherman, the owner, allowed J.J. Piccolo to do as the general manager of this ball club if and when the Royals are in the playoff hunt. And that's why I think it's so important, Josh, to start kind of looking at that minor league system. All right, who do we have down there? Could we be competitive if an ace pitcher becomes available? Could we be competitive with the assets that we have? And I'll say it now, and I'll continue to say it till I'm blue in the face, you can't have FOMO with your own players. And if the Royals are in this thing and they're making a run, I don't give a rat's ass who's in the minor leagues, because they're prospects and they're suspects until they get up to the big league level. And I would trade anybody in the minor league system right now to get reinforcements and to get an ace and to give you somebody that can get you over the top to get you into the playoffs, because making the postseason to me is worth any much more than any prospect that is floating around the minor leagues right now.
But do they have those people anyway that you covered?
Right. I don't know.
It seems like we've been told they have not.
Right. But maybe they will later in the season, too. You don't know. Maybe guys develop and, you know, kind of hit the ground running, or who knows what the case may be. Like a guy that you may not know now could be a guy that people covet at the end
Francisco
of the year.
Francisco Cortez.
Exactly. That could be a guy
that draw up support for him.
Right. Exactly. A guy like Francisco Cortez could be used as a trade piece.
As we love him.
Right.
Maybe he's part of a piece.
Could be.
That deals out.
But you can't fall in love with prospects because they are suspects until they get to the big league level and produce, right? And so you've got to be willing to say, yeah, we're going to deal that guy. You can't fall in love with your own players. And I do think the prior regime, and I'll say with Dayton, he had an issue with that, I think, at times. And he said it because he fell in love with people and players too much and, you know, wasn't able to move on, wasn't able to turn that roster over as much as they should have been. They should have been more transactional. That was the word that they used, and they weren't. And I think now that you've established some winning here and you start to win, you got to do it for those guys inside that locker room too, to show the players that, hey, ownership has got you back. Front office has got your back. We're going to go out there and we're going to give you what you need. And at this point in time, I don't know what the answer is for what they need, but boy, if you could go out and add, and I'll just use the name, not necessarily the player, but a Justin Verlander, it seems like he's traded every trade deadline, right? Like Justin Verlander's always being traded to a contender at the trade deadline. If you can make a move for a guy like that.
And then back to the Astros.
And then back to the Astros, right, right. If you can make a move for a guy like that at the top of your rotation later on this year, it doesn't matter who you have to give up because you're getting a guy that can be at the top of the rotation and give you those reinforcements that you need going into the postseason. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see if this team continues to win, how aggressive John Sherman allows JJ to be. And I think he's going to allow him to be very aggressive.
I just hope we can find out that problem.
I know.
All together. Yep. Hope you got your mowing in. We'll get to that next.
I got the old man's car.
So this tweet went out yesterday from something called Today in Sports Co. It's a Coast Answer Company or whatever, but Today in Sports. It may be a little bit late on this because I think it's underway, isn't it? But their tweet was, it's almost lawn beer season.
It's getting there. Yeah, it's getting there.
But if you're mowing, isn't lawn beer season underway?
Well, I mean, some days are a little bit chillier, you know, when you go out there and mow, and maybe you don't want to sit outside and enjoy your work and have a beer. I think you got to be in like that 72 to, you know, 100 degree range to have that lawn
enjoy
beer,
their work.
Right?
I'm mowing all the time. You know, look at those stripes and go, give me a beer.
I'm not quite to that age yet. I just want to get it cut.
Then you still have the beer after that.
Of course.
I don't care how it looks. It's
right.
Just done.
Right. It's done. Absolutely. Yeah. D-U-N done. My wife mowed yesterday morning because she had the day off and the rain was supposed to be coming. And God forbid, you know, one person in the neighborhood goes out and mows and then it's like the sign of the apocalypse. Everybody comes out and mows. But because I guess the rain that was supposed to be coming, not as heavy as they originally projected for the rain. So everybody was out there mowing their lawn yesterday, and I think everybody likes a good beer after their lawn mowing.
So what is the best lawn mowing beer? 913-586-7610. I prefer to stay my lawn mowing beer is yard beer. It's a good light, crisp, plain.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Plain beer. Yeah, like a Coors Light, Bud Light, Budweiser, you know,
I
an American light beer
type
thing.
The Stubby Coors.
Oh, that's a good one.
Is a good lawn mowing a beverage. Light, crisp, and crushable.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want. You don't want a heavy IPA. You don't want something that's going to weigh you down. You want to be able to have that lawn beer, then go back out there and maybe do some edging and then come back and have another beer. Maybe go back out there and lay some mulch
some
and come
edging.
Back and
have, awesome.
Have another beer or whatever the case may be. Because, you know, when you're done mowing, you got to go around and trim. You got to get all that other grass out of there. So you don't want to have something too heavy that's going to weigh you down and give you unmotivation. So I think the perfect beer for after the lawn is one of those light beers, is a yard beer, a Pabst Blue Ribbon, a Ham, something of that nature that you don't normally have maybe at the bar, but boy, you keep that in the fridge for when you're done mowing. You're going to crack one of those suckers open.
Mm-hmm. And I found out this the hard way, Bob.
All right.
Hams.
Yeah, not good.
No.
No.
Six pack.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't last long.
No. Don't go 12.
Oh. Why?
I don't know. It's just good in smaller quantities.
Okay.
Because when I get it in a six, I'm like, oh, man, this is great. And then you wait a while, and then you have it again.
Right.
You get it at 12, you're like, oh, I got to get through all that 12.
Could be that way for just about any beer,
maybe,
though. You
maybe
know?
So, but some of them are better than others. I'm like, oh, I think that was good in a short spurt. Because the last time I'm like, no, I might as well buy 12 of hams because I've been been drinking hams.
Yeah.
I got to the end of 12. I'm like, okay, I'm done with hams for a little while.
Yeah, you don't want to do too much hams. I don't think hams is a very good beer. I don't think it is very refreshing.
Beer refreshing.
Yeah, I think it's a good heavy taste to me. I don't like
it. Good yard beer for me. Good mowing beer.
I'm with you guys. If you're mid beer, if you're mid work, absolutely. Once you're done, give me a Boulevard Wheat, a Summer Shandy, something with citrus in it.
Something
when you're evaluating your work.
Yeah.
Can't be beat.
The citrus helps evaluate the work.
It does. It's scientific.
The grapefruit shandy from Leinen Kugels is really good. Anything like with that grapefruit that we used to have with Shiner was always really, really good. I discovered these Athletic Brewing companies are non-alcoholic beers, if that's your thing. Those are really good. Like if you're just looking for the taste of the beer but not the buzz, they got a bunch of different varieties of them. And I had a couple of them over the last couple of days. I'm like, these are really good, really tasty type of beers. And they're low in calorie, which is something that I like. I found one like 45 calories. I'm in and you taste, you're like, that's actually a really good beer. You're not going to get, you know, falling down drunk, obviously, but if you just want the taste of a beer, it's a good way to go as well. So I think something light, something crisp, something delicious, something has to be really cold too. And I know at times with light beer for me, sometimes I just pour it over ice because I don't care because it's already watered down anyway for the most part. I just wanted to have it really, really cold.
A lot of summer shandies coming in. Yeah. I agree. Summer shandy's pretty light after mowing. Someone says, I drink while mowing for the 6-2-0.
I guess you have a riding lawnmower if you're doing something like that. Yeah. Hard to push and drink.
Yeah, the Boulevard Teal Rising.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of a lighter, crisper one. I could see that from the 816. Yangling in the Bottle. Yangling Flight is my new
Yangling Flight
yard
is
beer.
Really good. That's a good light beer. Yeah.
I did not realize that Yangling Flight was a singular thing.
What did you think it was?
I thought it was a
flight of the Yinglings?
Yes.
Like you were going to get a bunch. So you ordered it, you got one beer, and you're like, I got screwed?
Yes. I thought it was like a sampler pack. I didn't realize it was one beer. I was like, oh, it's called Flight.
Right.
Ah, I get it.
Maybe not the best name, though, where people are now used to going to breweries and getting a flight of beer, a flight of whiskeys, or a flight of tequilas. You know? No, it's one beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the name of their light beer.
Kind of threw me off on that one. So, yes, a lot of flights coming in.
Yeah, that is a really good light beer. It's one of the better ones out there on the market today.
If you want a seltzer after, I think, that seltzer, that's a good time for a seltzer, too.
Yeah,
I don't seltzer a lot, but post-mowing, it's got a little crispness to it. I might mow every day this week, says the 913. Why? Just so you can have beer?
Yeah, you can have beer without mowing.
You don't have to mow.
You can just stand in your yard and, you know, scratch yourself.
It doesn't require you to, you know,
if you do,
earn it.
If you do mow every day, please let us know how many of your other neighbors mow multiple times.
Yes.
You know, once you...
No, they come out. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable, especially the old dudes. They see one guy mowing and they go, oh my God, the mower's gone. And they go outside and they mow. We had a guy across the street. He mowed on Sunday and then we were out yesterday. He mowed again. He don't care.
Mm. I delayed my mowing the other day because I just wanted to mow, mm-hmm. needed to mow, but neighbor was out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want the mistaken impression that we're in some kind of competition.
Sure.
I just needed to mow. So I let them finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, then I'll go mow later.
Then you went out and mowed.
I just put it,
but
put
then
it
again,
off.
You're also, you know, like hurting yourself.
I don't want to get in that competition thing because we're not competing against anything.
No, but you want to get it done too. You know, there's something to be said for wanting to get it done versus, all right, this guy's out here mowing. I don't want to look like I'm copying, but this is the time I've got available. I got to go out there and get this thing done.
From the 816. Oh man. What beer goes best with a TV dinner and a broken marriage? Jeez. 816. I think we should be
here to
help
you. We'll talk
to
Binkley coming up in about 3 minutes here on 610 Sports Radio.
Boulevard has that series, shot. Like the bourbon barrel series, where it's like real high ABV. It's like, you know, kept in like liquor barrels.
Uh-huh.
Like go something like that.
So what would you normally drink with a frozen plate of sodium? I mean,
dinner and a broken marriage.
TV dinner and a broken marriage. I think you probably need something harder than that. Get yourself some whiskey.
Yeah.
Man, I feel bad for you, bro. If you need to reach out, shoot me a DM on Twitter. We can talk through this. It'll be okay.
Man.
We'll get you through. You'll be better off for it.
Just avoid the TV dinner.
Yeah, don't do that. That hungry man thing.
You don't have to do that.
No, go make yourself some chicken breast in the air fryer. It'd be easy. Save it all week. You can go and make your thing and do your deal.
Tall Boys of PBR. I like that one.
Yeah.
That's always a good one, too.
Yep.
That's another six-packer, though. Don't go 12.
12, no.
So you'll be like,
yeah,
I'm done.
Done with that.
Keep coming at 913-586-7610.
You guys ever drink that hard iced tea before?
I've had it before.
Other than like it came in, that's too sweet for me. I drink that. I'm like, that's a sugar rush.
It needs
right
to be
there.
Watered down a little
it
bit.
It needs to be unsweetened alcohol iced tea, yeah, you know? And, yeah, and you can get that, I think, if you just, you know, make some tea and put vodka in it, you're fine. You're good to go. But some of that hard iced tea, I'm like, holy crap. I got like a main line of sugar going into me right now.
Mm. From 785, 12 Busch Lights and a fifth of whiskey for that divorce guy.
Yeah, if you're divorced, what kind of booze should you suggest to our friend? Because I think we've moved off the yard beers. I think we're now like, we got to help this guy out, man.
I know. It's crazy.
We got to help this guy.
Did you consider Brett from Miller?
Did Wilt Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out to Wiggins?
You think I'm a damn fool?
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Today's thanks, Coach, for the 913. The less you mow, the taller the grass will grow. It allows for more root growth, which makes for a healthier lawn.
Thank you.
Scots.
Yeah.
Signed, Scots.
Thank you. That's why we let ours grow for as long as we did, or that we were lazy, either way. But I'm glad that did come in, because I was looking at the lawn the other day. I'm like, does it really matter if you let it grow longer? Does it really do anything? Does it fill in, or are we just being lazy?
Just being lazy, I think.
Yeah, I think it is, too.
You either cut it too much or not enough. It's mm-hmm. same as all.
Yeah.
Same.
And then you cut it, you know, beginning in like, you know, middle of May till August, and it just burns out anyway. Yeah. So then you're mowing nothing, dirt.
So thanks, Coach, for the mowing tips. Mm-hmm. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDF, HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. Join us at the Landing in Liberty. The 610 Sports Radio draft party is taking place on the 25th. That's the Thursday night opening night of the draft. It's brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Character Concerns crew, that would be Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, will be broadcasting live during the opening round. We have day baseball that day, so plenty of room for football talk here on 610 Sports Radio Thursday night, April 25th. Our entire 610 crew will be in attendance at the Landing. Hope to see you there. Also, someone's going to walk away with $610 just for being the best draft picker.
Mm-hmm.
And Chiefs merchandise to give away as well. So join us at the Landing in Liberty coming up on Thursday, April the 25th. The Character Concerns crew features one, Jay Binkley, who joins us now here on 610 Sports Radio. Good morning, Bank.
Good morning, Kling.
First off, there was a text that came in, we believe, for you from the 816. What beer goes best with a TV dinner and a broken marriage?
Oh, man. Coors Light.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Something rapid consumption, you know?
Yeah, rapid consumption. I do like that. And with your lighter beers, you can do that rapid consumption.
You can pound the case, man, and feel better. And you get that cardboard, you know, case sitting there. And people see how many beers you went through, how many cases you went through. But, yeah, you want to go something like that.
Are you still, like, finishing a beer and gluing the empty bottle or can to your wall like you did in college? Or did you get out of that phase yet?
Yeah, I got out of that phase. It was you know, it's in the past. Actually, what I used to do is where we live, there was these iron, like an iron gate or like iron type fence. And we used to take the beer bottles once we drank them and put them all along the fence.
Okay. And then you would shoot them with a BB gun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah, be careful with that. Jay Binkley, our draft insider here on 610 Sports Radio. And earlier in the show, I was talking about, you know, guys holding out. I said, this is a prime time for Isaiah Pacheco to hold out. You know, going into year three of a 4-year rookie deal, this is the prime time for him to hold out. But they've got him. They've got CEH. Are you starting to sense maybe a running back is in the mix for the Chiefs at some point during this draft?
Yeah, that would that'd be dangerous for him to hold out, because the way running backs go right now, these teams don't deal with it and get another one. But, yeah, I think they should draft a running back. I know that J.K. Dobbins came in here for a visit, and I don't think they've shut the door on that. I think that once the draft, if they don't get a guy that they want, they're going to have Texas running back Jonathan Brooks, who tore his ACL last year, great running back, in for a top 30 visit. So, that shows me the Chiefs, unless it's a total smokescreen, but I don't know what kind of smokescreen that would be when you're dealing with a running back. It's not going to be a first-round running back anyway. But it is interesting the Chiefs are bringing in a running back.
Well, and somebody, I don't want to say draft an injured guy, but someone coming off an injury when you don't have to plug them in right away, yeah, would make a little sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's talented. He's part of that Texas team that was just so good, all those great skill position players that they had. But, yeah, I think the Chiefs, you know, they struck gold with Isaiah Pacheco. And, you know, Brett Veach made that statement a couple years ago that he can draft a running back in the seventh round or undrafted that can get 1,000 yards. Well, Pacheco hadn't quite done that, but we all know that he could have done that. But I think the Chiefs are, you know, find those fifth round, sixth round running backs. You know, you don't have to get them in the first round. And I think they realize that they get just as much production or more production from a seventh round pick than they did a first round pick in Clyde. But they bring Clyde back for that security. And don't forget J.K. Dobbins. I do think there's some interest there.
Jay Binkley with us here on 610 Sports Radio. So your new mock draft comes out today. What do we have the Chiefs doing in the latest mock with you and Chris Unocero?
Well, instead of just a Chiefs mock, we did every team mock just to kind of see how the board might play out. Like if the Chiefs would be a trade down to get that receiver that they wanted, or if you're sitting there at 32 and maybe a team wants to jump up and grab Michael Penix or Bo Nix if they're still there. So we did all the teams and we did a trade. Of course, we had the Cardinals. We had the Vikings trading out with the Cardinals and the Chiefs sitting there with pick number 23. There was a nice run on receivers and all the good ones were being taken. So we went A.D. Mitchell at 23. We felt the Chiefs would need to trade up. I have no doubt that that they would be willing to do that. I think that the wide receiver is a position in need for the Kansas City Chiefs. And sitting at 32, they might be settling for a Ladd McConkey, DeVontaze Walker, you know, these guys sitting there at 32 that I don't think they necessarily would want. It would be kind of just falling into that receiver, but I think that they would need to jump up to 23. And we'll say a Brock Bauer starts the slide. A lot of these mocks have him, you know, going top 10, obviously. We had him going at 12 to the Denver Broncos, but if he happens to slide and, you know, Jacksonville Jaguars are sitting there at 17, and old friend Doug Peterson, and could the Chiefs jump up there? Because I do think there could be a little bit of gamesmanship between the Buffalo Bills at 28 and the Chiefs at 32, because both of them need wide receiver.
Did the board speak to you?
The board spoke. A.D. Mitchell, receiver out of Texas. But the board did speak. We did a little trade, but we're going to release that on the character concerns later today. But instead of the Chiefs trading back, which they could, and to get an early second-round pick, if a team, because I do think those quarterbacks being there would be valuable for the Chiefs in any team wanting 32 to jump ahead of the crowd for day two. But I do feel the Chiefs also in position to trade up. Chad Ryder, we had him on the show last week on our draft special, and he had the Chiefs jumping up to 17 to grab Xavier Worthy. I think that's way too much of a jump for an Xavier Worthy. But A.D. Mitchell or Brian Thomas, I think, would be worth jumping up to 23.
Bob, this is the time of year we talk about the draft needing to happen.
Yeah,
that the
right,
days
right.
continue to mount. And as much as Jay even likes to talk about the draft, I sensed working with him on Friday, you're getting very annoyed by all the mock drafts that are going anywhere else but wide receiver for the Chiefs.
Oh, man. I keep seeing them. They were released yesterday. They had the Chiefs drafting a corner. And there was a story, I think, on CBS Sports. And it says the five teams will be drafting for need in the first round, and the Chiefs weren't on there with wide receiver. Do people just think that the Chiefs just have these, you know, the magic fairies going to drop off receivers to the Chiefs? Have they not been paying attention that – you know, maybe their leading receiver may get popped for a couple games, suspended this year? That's a problem. With a very thin wide receiver room, your number one receiver in some legal trouble at this point. Maybe he gets suspended this year, maybe next year, maybe it doesn't happen. I don't know. But still, that is something you have to plan for. And the Chiefs, one thing they do is they plan for everything. They plan for every type of contingency plan. And this was a year I felt they were going to get wide receiver anyway. And now I totally believe they are. But the defensive line, I saw a defensive lineman, Jazar Newton, from Illinois being mocked to the Chiefs. I saw a safety, Tyler Newbin. The Chiefs are not drafting a safety at 32. But these are like, you know, Pete Prisco's of the world doing this crap.
Talking with Jay Binkley here on 610 Sports Radio. You know, you mentioned the trade up, though, but is it a need to trade up? Can the Chiefs still get a productive player at 32 at any position, or do you feel they absolutely need to trade up in this draft?
It depends, you know, how you look at it. You know, you can go to Sam's Club and you can get that 50-inch TV, or you could spend that extra 150 and get a 75-inch. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, it's worth it. Like, if you think you can get a better quality player, instead of just sitting there, hey, we'll get this, no, you go get something good. I'm a conservative guy that didn't like spending a lot of money on a lot of things, but when it comes to TVs or electronics or whatever, I'm willing to spend the extra money to get something good and quality instead of just settling on something. And I think the Chiefs would do that in the draft. I think that Mecole Hardman was that kind of guy for him a couple years ago when Tyreek Hill, when they weren't sure and they thought they might need another wide receiver. But they're in position now. And if they're going to be drafting at the end of the draft, first round all the time, which they have been, if you want to get that player that you feel is quality, because, again, if you're picking 32, you're essentially picking in the second round. Just like when they jumped up and got Trent McDuffie when he started the slide, because they had a first-round grade on Trent McDuffie. They had him rated as like the 21st best player. Last year, all these NFL teams really only had 12 to 15 first-round grades because the draft wasn't that great. So anytime you're drafting, you know, 23, 24 in a weaker draft on, but this is a strong draft. There's probably going to be 22, 23 first-round grades on guys. But, you know, if there's a guy you really want, you might as well jump up and get him because, you know, some of these draft picks, you know, second, third-rounders, they don't end up turning out that good anyway, so might as well make that jump.
All right, Bank, we'll look forward to your latest mock draft coming out today and the podcast available at 610sports.com and the Odyssey app.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks,
hey,
Bank.
Guess what? Yes, we're almost done talking draft, but 2025 draft will be talked about starting the week after.
Oh, starting the week after. We're getting a jump start on it.
Who the Chiefs taking in that one at 32?
Well, we did it all last year and this year. So, Egbuka from Ohio State. Actually, they don't draft Ohio State players, so forget I said that. But the one thing about it is we did this all last year, too. As soon as the draft is over in Kansas City, boom, we start talking about the draft in Detroit.
And where is it next year? In Green Bay, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's up there in Green Bay. A lot of people will be eating cheese. Jay, we'll see you Friday. You'll be in for Josh. We'll talk a little draft that day, I'm sure, as well.
All right, Bob. We'll see you then.
Yep.
That's Jay Binkley, Character Concerns podcast, released every Tuesday. You can listen on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. as well here on 610 Sports Radio. And then you know, those times before the draft where there's no baseball. And they'll be broadcasting live from our draft party coming up at the Landing in Liberty on April the 25th. Hope to see you there. It's brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs, live from the Landing in Liberty on the opening night of the draft on the 25th. Had to make this pick. We'll get to it next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.